Welcome back to Magnetic North, where even we who live in heaven on earth take to the road with bags packed and baskets of junk food and tourist trinkets and found treasure stashed front seat to back. And sometimes we take and make memories that can surprise us. It takes either a health emergency or unavoidable family gathering to tempt me away from the farm and lakeshore in midsummer, but the latter of the two did just that in late July. My dear friend Scylla's son was getting married on the opposite side of the big lake in Houghton, Michigan. Scylla, known to you as the Lady and the Scamp, introduced me to her son Arthur a few years ago, and he won my heart by bonding with my favorite goat, Bosco. So much so that Arthur actually ended up nuzzling the big goat's nose to nose. Quite the act for a creature with curling 20-inch horns, I'd say. So when the invite to Arthur's wedding came, even though the date was late July, I RSVP'd right off and made plans to go with Scylla. She, of course, hitched up her beloved Scamp trailer and booked herself into a state park for 5 nights. I took the easier, softer option, a posh hotel overlooking the Keweenaw Waterway Bridge, smack up against a little marina I'd sailed into during the summer of 76 on my sailboat Amazing Grace. The waterway is part of a natural lake and part dredge canal that severs the landmass of the Upper Peninsula of Michigan from the rest of the state. Moving copper ore and supplies was the motive for such a drastic and expensive amputation when it was done in the 1860s, and a lift bridge was added for travel by land between the two cities, Houghton and Hancock. Nowadays, tourism and Michigan Tech feeds the two cities, and the waterway is a route not for copper and miner supplies, but for pleasure craft and family camps. This I learned when I first sailed under the bridge on a blistering hot summer day 42 years ago and blithely hopped off her bow to tie up on the Hancock side of the waterway. Yes, there was a time when I could hop off the prow of a boat and land on my feet without so much as an oofda or call 911. All that came flooding back into my memory when I looked out the hotel restaurant window the morning after our arrival, and saw the bridge and marina across the waterway. It was as if a movie was running in my head, superimposed on the sunny scene across the waterway. There I was, wearing a yellow Madras blouse, jeans, and docksiders, rope in hand, leaping just in time to land on the breakwall and turn to prevent collision with Grace's bow. Then the film ended as simply as it had started, and I perceived with amazement and some embarrassment that fat tears were plopping into my coffee. Apparently, I thought as I scolded myself for putting on a public display, there was more packed in my bags than finery for Arthur's wedding. Those dang memories somehow had burrowed in beneath the frilly scarves and support pantyhose and were demanding my attention. They didn't care that I was alone at a table with strangers peering nervously at me, wondering if perhaps I was about to be sick. No, they'd caught me out, without the trappings of chores and hobbies and endless distractions to remind me of certain truths. To wit, that I missed terribly my little 7-year-old girl, Gretchen, now a mom herself living half a continent away, and that the couple on that boat that summer still loved each other, probably always did in the end, even though being married to each other proved to be impossible. How I wished at that moment I had savored those days more than when they were mine to savor. It was just one of those flashback moments that lie in wait, springing to life when I am as unaware as a stone monkey. Thankfully, the bittersweet blast from the past faded by the time my coffee was downed, but it left me resolved to pay attention to whatever joys the coming days and festivities might bring. And so, when I picked the chanterelle mushrooms at Scylla's campground, I also made sure to gather pine cones for a Christmas gift wreath for the newlyweds, And when I tagged along to Grandma's house, where the elegantly casual ceremony took place on the lawn sloping to the water's edge, I tucked my introvert ego in my purse and took dozens of pictures for my friend and her son and new daughter-in-law. At the reception, my friend chose to quote from C.S. Lewis in framing her toast to the bride and groom. Quote, "When the most important things in life are happening, we almost never know exactly what is going on." As I packed my bags to head back to the North Shore, I tucked in some new memories of the Keweenaw. I decided that one of the great things about aging is that, like C.S. Lewis, most of us eventually wake up to the fact that even the most ordinary day might put us on the path to extraordinary joy. So pay attention, I told myself. As Scylla and I drove back down the south shore of the lake, we talked over the past 5 days for a bit, then shifted into a topic that only those of us of a certain age would understand having. Just having been to one of the two most propitious occasions on one's time on Earth. "I've decided that I definitely do not want to be cremated," I declared as we escaped the blazing sun under the canopy of the Scamp at Brighton Beach, just outside of Duluth. "Oh," Scylla murmured as she poured out two cups of tea. You might have thought she thought I said I preferred half and half in my tea rather than milk. "Yes," I went on. "You know how much I hate hot weather. Hate is really too puny a word. Loathe, despise, detest, abominate, abhor hot weather. It's why I live where I do. So why on earth would I choose to be immolated after I die? Plus, I have the perfect dress, the one I wore when Paul and I got married. Who burns their wedding dress, for heaven's sake?" That tea time declaration, the giggling that followed, is a funky memory of the wedding weekend that came home in my bags, along with the pine cones and the pictures. And who knows what else hitchhiked in memory when, to paraphrase Lewis, I had no idea what was going on. For WTIP, this is Vicki Biggs Anderson with Magnetic North.